Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So I feel like it's getting towards that time when people go on holiday.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
What, you mean summer?
No. Well, I don't know. You know, I feel like we have the beginning of the year, so it's like Christmas time. And everyone goes, oh, okay, it's Christmas time. Then you have January. Then you have February. You know the rest of the months. You
I was going to say, should we all say them together? March.
You know,
April.
You know how it goes. But I feel like we get to this moment, like sort of mid-March time, beginning of April, and everyone thinks that, you know, like, oh, I kind of feel like I want to go on holiday. Mm. Do you know what I think?
Yeah.
Jamie, are you planning a holiday?
I'm actually going to Amsterdam. I know,
let me get Amsterdam. There we go. Are you going on Friday?
I am going on Friday, yeah.
I just went to Amsterdam.
Oh, cool.
But do you know, can I tell you something about the Red Light District? I think I said this in the last podcast. It's a weird one because...
They have no glory holes.
You also said that glory
hole. Glory hole.
No, but they... I popped my head down there.
Sure.
And
gross.
I love when Francis says something funny, just leaves and giggles to himself. But I know.
I love that he just like, he like says something and just sits back.
Yeah.
It's almost like he's not allowing himself to add on the joke by physically removing himself from the microphone. It's a very good tactic. I'm going to use it.
But he, but anyway, so I pop myself down the red light district to check it out. But I was like expecting it to be quite like a quiet street and things like that, because you've got these people like dancing in the windows. Mm-hmm. It's like 1,000 people and it's like packed.
Yeah.
So if you ever did want to go,
it's
in
like
there,
Times Square. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
If you went in there, like they would all know exactly what you're doing. So
I do love just walking around there just to see like these really sad men just walking out of buildings like straightening their tie, yeah, and like you're
pretending that they haven't done anything.
I mean, like, it's not like you could wear like a balaclava or something.
What are you doing? Threatening, what are you
wearing a balaclava into? Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Part Two of Private Parts. We are still with Jamie Morton. Hi, Jamie.
Hi.
We haven't even mentioned the fact that we're both called Jamie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Consider it mentioned.
Just, I feel like all the listeners are going to go, God, they haven't even touched on the fact they're both called Jamie.
I'm waiting for the whole second part just to get to the fact that they're both called Jamie.
And they're now like, finally, like, I can't believe you haven't got to that moment yet. But also, I find so funny, Jamie, about the My Dad Read a Porno, your big hit podcast, is the fact that how it all started, your dad actually sent you his porn, erotic novel that he had written as a joke.
Well, I assume it was a joke. I can't imagine. I think, well, not a joke so much as he was just trying to fuck with my mind, which, you know, he succeeded in. But I figured, like, why would he send his son his porn?
Yeah, that is.
So I was like, okay. Well,
are you quite, are you quite an open family in terms of sex and things like that?
Yeah, we are, to be fair. Well, not like. Yeah, I mean,
that's why. Yeah, stepmom. Really talk about, so
yeah, exactly. Yeah. We're all... You just get divorced, so I can get a stepmom to fuck, please. But Yeah, we are an open, communicative family, but we wouldn't, you know, not really
in
about
what way, because I always find
pornography.
That,
so
I always find that odd how, you know, actually I don't find it, because I think I'm a very open
you
family.
Are, I know your sister, yeah. Like you're very close.
So open, we can talk about anything.
Yeah.
But I think there's always still that, like, I still don't get it when people are so, like, I watched that amazing series on Netflix, Sex Education.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Really? I thought you were going to say Leaving Neverland.
It's actually HBO, not Netflix, but don't worry about it.
But I did, I watched that, and it was so... But that relationship between between the mother and the son, and they have that relationship about sex and things like that, I find that so interesting, because it's always that same
What's
case.
It called?
It's called Sex Education.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
really, really good. But the interesting thing about it was that I think all mothers... are a little bit like that, where they really are so desperate to understand what their daughter's or son's kind of
sure.
sexual activity is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And were your family like that as well?
Not really in that way, because I've got three sisters and I'm the only boy. So I think I kind of got off a little bit lightly in that they just kind of left me to do my own thing a bit. I think they were more kind of day-to-day engaged with the girls. But that's what I think, like, girls have a more... kind of
more demanding.
Well, they're just more, they just talk more to their mum.
Yeah, they do, they talk so much more.
Whereas it was like me and Dad would just be like, yeah, you're right, yeah, cool. I've written some porn, cool, I'll read it.
Yeah, it's like,
I'm now going to read it to the world.
But I remember when I went to my first ever party, and my mum tried to tell me how to put condoms on.
Was this really?
Yeah,
yeah.
Did you say any kind of,
was it a Leeds?
Yeah. But she tried to show me like how to put
honestly,
a condom, yeah, and
wow.
things like that.
Oh,
not
no,
literally
we,
on
we
me.
We weren't like that. Yeah, I was going to say,
yeah.
Were.
Yeah. No, not like that. But
well, your mum showed you how to put a condom.
Well, she was just like, are you using protection and things? The worst thing my mum ever.
It's quite a jump from asking the question to God. Showing you how to put one on.
The worst thing my mum ever said actually to me was when. I was sleeping with an old ex-girlfriend, not recently again, but just when I was going out.
How old was she?
Lignin just come in and out again, so, just straight in and out.
This is his thing.
But we're talking, and she said to me, you having sex? And I said, yes, Mum, I'm having sex. And she said, are you using a condom? And I went, no, I'm not using a condom. And she said, oh, she's on the pill then. I said, no, she's not on the pill. And my mum said, so, do you just withdraw? And I went, oh,
whoa,
my God. I couldn't believe it was that, like, intense.
That, yeah.
That really does. And then...
I mean, that's odd to kind of want to know that much detail.
Yeah, my
mum's
kind of like that. She really wants to have that, like, weird sort of connection. Francis, you must have the same with your mum, no?
No.
Not at all?
No, we don't talk about...
Do you not ever talk about sex and things like that?
No, I don't think so, no.
But I had one of my friends was telling me this story how he caught his parents having sex for the first time, and he walked.
How many times did
he
see?
Yeah. But you know when they're having, he walked into a room and opened the door, and his mum and dad were doing doggy style, and his mum was just looking at him.
Fuck. Oh, Jesus.
What is this?
Yeah, that's. I can't tell you who it is. But yeah, I can't. Well, no, I can't tell you.
Wait. Please, I don't even know who they are anyway.
Yeah,
but
say his first name.
It's not real unless
you say
it.
It's a girl. Oh, right. But I can't say. But they walked into the room and
that's rough. Fucking hell.
Yeah, it's terrible. So when he sent you the book and you were reading it, and you then what gave you the idea that actually I'm going to read it if he sent it to me?
Well, okay. So he didn't tell me it was porn. He just because he'd said to me about a month earlier. He was like, it was a family thing. I think it's on my sister's birthday or something. And he was like, oh, I'm writing a book, which I thought was actually a really good way for him to spend his retirement, because he was a builder, and I think I was a bit worried about him not kind of having anything to do all day or whatever.
Because you get, yeah, it's true, because people retire and they don't have a purpose anymore, and they just
exactly.
kind of sit. Alex Ferguson actually said it so interesting when someone said to him, when are you going to retire from Manchester United? And he said, well, when I retire, I'm just waiting to die. So what's the point? And that's what his thing was saying. He said, well, if you retire, then what do you actually do with your life kind of thing? Mm. So I think it's so important to actually pick up some sort of thing like a hobby or do something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So his thing was like writing a book, which, you know, great, whatever. But he didn't tell me it was porn. So I just thought it was going to be some sort of like, I don't know, like a pirate story or like, you know, something that my dad would like a Robinson Crusoe thing. I don't know.
A pirate?
Well, I don't know.
Robinson Crusoe. Yeah. Has that already been done?
He changed the first name. Yeah, so I was like, cool. So then when he sent it to me, I didn't know what it was about or anything. And it was just called Belinda Blinked. And I was like, that's an odd like title for a book. But,
a good name. But weirdly, such a good name. The funny thing about, and I'm, because I am a big fan, the characters are, it's like when, you know, it's like Google. Google can be called anything else. But yeah. Google, Dumbledore. It's such a perfect
right,
name.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And oh, within the characters within the book are such...
He is very like J.K. Rowling. Yeah.
Yeah. But it is the characters in the book, you know, even Rocky Flintstone is
yeah,
it's such
it's a great name.
It's a
great name.
It's a great
so what, what's
name.
His real name? Your
I
dad?
Can't tell you that.
No,
no, obviously not.
He's like Banksy.
Well, the thing is, he obviously wrote because
probably
I've
something more. Quite, that's what I would
guess. You would guess, right?
Dave.
I always thought I should just have been, done this podcast as like Bam Bam Flintstone. I shouldn't be my real name or
probably Leandro Morton.
Something really, really flamboyant. It's interesting because he wrote them under a pseudonym, and I've been very kind of respectful of the fact that he didn't put his actual name to it. So he's asked to kind of not be in the limelight, yeah. Which I think you have to respect with that sort of thing.
100%. And also, there's a sense of like sense of excitement and mystery about things like that when you don't actually know. You know, Sia has done it incredibly well.
Right. Well, I mean, she did it halfway through her career, though. I mean, I'm like, oh, there are if you just Google Sia, there's loads of pictures before she wore a wig. I'm like, well, I don't think this is really a consistent way
did
to hide
she?
You.
Really?
Yeah.
What? Mind blown.
Yeah. Like one day she was like, do you know what? I just think I don't want to be seen anymore. He's going to wear a stupid big hair. Like, why? Like, cat's out the bag, but there's a thing called the internet, Google image search, you know. Look into it. You might find problems with your
I don't know who
anonymity.
That person
you
is.
Don't know who Sia is?
No. She's like a singer.
Really great. She's an Australian singer.
No,
she's hence in the accent.
Yeah.
He wasn't just doing an Australian accent for fun.
No, I thought she might be Australian.
He deduced that much. Thank you, Jamie.
But so
he sent it to me. Sorry, is that what you wanted
to
do?
Yeah,
so he sent it to me and literally, as you know, the first sentence is Belinda Blinked, the job interviewer had just asked her to remove her jacket and silk blouse. And that was the moment I knew he'd been writing porn. And you're kind of confronted with, you know, it's kind of like blue pill, red pill. What do? Do you either slam the laptop shut and, you know, pretend that never happened? Or do you just, out of pure
curiosity,
do you just read it?
Is it good? Is it quite good, the book?
No, it's awful.
No, it's terrible. It's really not
it's
good.
He can't spell.
Oh, no.
Like it's all like on every level it's awful. Like he knows nothing about sex. Like, which is, you know, quite comforting in a weird way. There's been no extramarital affairs. I think we know that.
Jamie, there's what is that marvelous bit in it where your one of the characters is talking about like seducing or going into and it's a bit where obviously your dad has no idea how to like seduce or
yeah.
do, and there's a bit in it there's a bit where tries to talk about seducing someone or having beginning of the sex and it's so what you wouldn't do.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's all like that. I mean, he has such an interesting kind of way with words as well, like because he's a builder, like he describes someone's nipples as being as large as the 3-inch rivets which held the hull of the fateful Titanic together. And you're like, well, that's really sexy, Dad. Yeah, let's reference a huge maritime disaster where thousands of people died while you're trying to get someone's rocks off.
But do you think he's writing it seriously?
Genuinely seriously. And the thing is, when we do shows around the world, he sometimes comes on tour with us, which is really fun. And he's like backstage and at the interval, he'll come up and be like, why were they laughing at that? That bit's not funny. Why? And so he still, to this day, is like a little bit miffed as to why people find it funny. And I'm like, oh, Dad,
but what's
the naivety lives.
Yeah, but it's so great because there are those... He's obviously gone, right, I need to write a book. And if I think back to my English, you know, days, it was all about making metaphors and similes. So I need to, like, put those
in
there.
He's huge on those,
and
yeah.
So he thinks that's what people do. So I need to try and chuck those in there. So he'll try and make it as, like, flamboyant and as creative as possible. But just at the same time, just crashing and burning. But as I said before, it's very much reminds me very much of the
Your
room.
Diary.
But it does. It reminds me very much of The Room, that iconic
movie. Yeah, it's
movie,
very much like that.
Which
yeah.
is like that. Which is
Dan is like Tommy Wiseau. I've always said so. He is the Tommy Wiseau of porn.
And also, as Tommy Wiseau did, is the fact that he couldn't understand why everyone was laughing as well at those times.
But now he's reclaimed it. Like, it was always supposed to be joke. It's like, no, it wasn't. So that's Tommy Wiseau, by the way. That wasn't any kind of... I mean, but he was very racist, sorry. Apologies to all of the listeners.
Selling a little... or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jay, this is what I don't get about you. You say, you know, you're incredibly creative. You know what's funny. You know all those kind of things. But what I find fascinating is that you've never wanted to really be in front of the camera. But you're an actor. You're an entertainer. That's what you are. So, and maybe people figure that out later in life. You know, you look at the Mickey Flanagans and things like that in their lives, or you know, they've all started later on. But you've sort of found your calling, I feel. You're saying, my Diary of a Porno Star is a podcast. It's grown over 150 million downloads.
180 million downloads
since 2015.
Yeah. It's a long time.
All different people.
It's
probably
not a long time, and it's 4 years.
One would hope.
But it's, you know, you've toured Australia. You've sold out the Sydney Opera House twice. You've done America tour. You've done the Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, that is fucking unbelievable.
And no, it is. But it's literally unbelievable. I still find it really hard to quantify, because that is, it's mental. And it's such a weird, like, niche show. Like, I'm reading my dad's pornography, and yet, yeah, as you say, all these people around the world.
I have a question. When you booked the Royal, the Sydney Opera House, right?
Yeah. How do you book it?
No, but so were you like, okay, well, should we just book it and see if we sell it out? Or did you have a good idea that you're like, oh, well, we'll probably sell out the Sydney Opera House? Because it's like quite a bold thing to like say, okay, yeah, well, or did you start off somewhere small and then it sold out and then you're like, okay, well, let's book the Sydney Opera House then?
We were actually invited.
Oh, really?
To the Sydney Opera House.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Oh,
I know. I was shit faced in Vietnam, actually, when I got the email for it. I was like, fuck off.
That's insane.
They asked us to come and play. And then we kind of built the whole Australian, New Zealand tour around that, because we're like, well, that's a fucking amazing thing to do. And then it sold out in like a day, and so we had another day.
It sold out in a day?
Yeah, and this was like 2 years ago. So we're excited to go back at some point to do some more shows
We haven't been invited yet.
Sydney Opera House is actually under... It's been closed for 2 years, actually, apparently.
Really? Oh, that's why we haven't been asked for it.
Yeah. They're
just going to hold out till 2022, boys. It's fine. Your invite, we'll get there.
We went up to Southport and we didn't do that well up there.
So hey, we did Stoke.
You did Stoke? Yeah, I mean, big time.
I had more people at my 30th birthday party than at the Stoke show. It was great.
Yeah, we... I think Southport was probably a little bit less than your Stoke one.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, I think so.
Do you think that in Australia they're just particularly like up for it?
What? Well, they are. They love it. We just did last year. We did just an insane world tour. I think we played 30 places around the UK.
And what's your minimum capacity?
So, you know,
what capacity?
The UK is quite a small place. So yeah. Like Stoke, you know, we played places all around Stoke and so I think when it got to the actual.
Yeah,
people who wanted to see it in Stoke, the one that.
But Jay, but also, what kind of capacity are you playing to? Is it like 400 people? Is it for 1,000 people? Is it
a few thousand? Well, it depends. I mean, Royal Albert Hall is 5,000.
That's insane. Again, are you invited to the Royal Albert Hall?
I think we asked to do that one. I think we did that one.
Really? And you're like, boys? You know, we're gonna.
So we get asked to do it.
Yeah, yeah. But you also, as you said before, You know, you're very funny and things like that in person, but you haven't really been in front of the camera and stuff like that before. So walking onto stage for the first time ever at the Sydney Opera House in front of 2,000-3,000 people, whatever it is, how nervous were you walking?
Really nervous. I have always been really nervous. But it's... I'll say it anyway. No. The only show that I've ever not been nervous for was the Royal Albert Hall show.
Wow. Oh, really?
And I don't know why, but I think... And sorry to name drop again, but I think it was because Emma Thompson came to that show and she came backstage to just wish us luck and stuff, and we had some champagne. So I think I was so like, oh my fucking God, Emma Thompson is here and I've met Emma Thompson, that I didn't have time to feel nervous, because literally she was like, fuck, we've got to get to our seats. And then we were on stage. So it was a bit like there was no time to kind of think about, shit, I'm going to be on this stage.
That
so we just
is
do
insane.
It. Yeah, so like... That was a weird 2 hours, I think I will always get nervous because it just isn't really what I have any. It isn't like a craft, proper comedians. They really hone their craft. They do pubs and clubs and they learn how to really interact with an audience, how to read an audience. Like I've been very lucky in that I only have ever done this, and people come to the shows already invested and they want to see us. It's not like we're doing.
So you don't really have to prove anything in a sense.
Exactly. They are there. They're up for a great time. They are, you know, mostly shit-faced. It's a very specific way to be a performer, you know.
It's amazing. But also, you know, who would have ever thought that you'd be touring, and not even the UK, round the world? That's what
it's
America and everything like that. And also, I feel like you're the first people to kind of do a podcast tour. That wasn't...
There's been a few others. Like, the No Such Thing as a Fish guys.
So they've done some.
They do... they're on their tour at the minute, actually. They're amazing live. If you can see them, they're great. American podcasts have done it, I would imagine. What's been nice for us is that we feel like we're kind of... Because we've been lucky enough to have kind of global listenership, is that we really enjoy flying the flag for British podcasting around the world, like when we were in America.
Hey, thanks, man.
It's really great.
We appreciate it. We're on that journey.
You may have added three listeners.
We are on that plane with you. We're sitting there buckled up, ready
it's
to
nice
go.
Because podcasting is massive in America, and it's still quite niche. It's getting bigger. So it's great to let people know that there's so many amazing British shows that they should be listening to and not just the big ones.
But also, talking of, you know, your touring and things like that, you have your HBO show, which is, and you can explain better to the listeners, it's become a TV show, right?
It's a comedy special, it's like a one-hour comedy special. Now, I was so fucking nervous for that one. Because, you guys...
Was that another email? Was that another email as well? How did that happen?
Someone from HBO came to one of our shows in New York, I think.
And said,
or LA. New York, I think. I guess
loved
started
it.
Talking with people and I don't really know the intricate
but
details.
But that's just insane though, right? So how scary was that?
Really scary. But great. We're working with a guy called Hamish Hamilton. He's our director, and he is legitimately one of the greatest. But he directs the Super Bowl halftime show every year. He directs the Emmys and the Oscars, and he's amazing. So he's worked with Gaga and Beyonce and just.
And
Room
you were
Five
like, "Hey, I'm totally cool with all this."
It just was it was nice to know that someone of that kind of experience was kind of taking it.
Because it's your baby, right? So you don't really want to let it into other hands.
And I've never done any kind of TV before, so I was very, I was just really, really nervous about it. So to know that he was kind of there orchestrating it all, I felt in kind of safe hands. Mm. But yeah, it was really scary. Just because, like, I used to work on The X Factor a million years ago, and that's crazy to walk in on that, you know, stage and see it all and all the people. But
what
then,
year did you work on The X Factor? Who won?
Oh, God. My my winners, they were great. James Arthur.
And, was it James Arthur?
And Sam Bailey, if you remember Sam Bailey. It was quite a forgotten year, that one.
the forgotten year.
But walking into the Roundhouse and seeing that kind of level of setup, all these cameras, like 300 people, like building a set, knowing that...
Do you have a live audience of 300 people?
Well, that was just the crew setting up. And then the audience came in of like a few hundred, like 500 or 600, I guess. But just to having never done a TV show before, that was really scary.
Did you have to hit marks and things like that as well?
It's mainly me just sitting and drinking wine, but sure, there are a few marks to be hit.
Do you get if I was allowed to sit and just drink wine, I'd just get drunk throughout the entire show.
On our world tour, I got such a kind of a resilience to white wine. It took me 2.5 bottles to even get drunk after like 20 shows in a row.
We used to do that on our tour. I used to look forward to that moment when I could take that swig from that Jaeger bottle.
Oh my God, yeah.
I would do the same thing. I'd go, I'll just have a swig. And I think, God, that's going to really kill the nerves. Because I used to get really freaking nervous as
really?
Well. Really?
Yeah. Oh, that's good to know.
But I was naked running on stage at the beginning. And then, and as Francis always says, and we always say, you know, we had to run naked on, and then also just talk about the fact that Francis would pretend that I had done crack at Leeds University. So I thought, not sure how good this is for my career. But let's go with it because it'll be fine, you know. So we kind of where your one had a huge audience. We didn't really have an audience. So
just running naked on a stage, just you know,
running in naked on a stage in front of four people at Southport was a low one. And then one guy in the front row shouting, "Yes, you need a flannel."
Oh God!
Being heckled by
them.
He said, "You don't need a towel. You need a flannel." Kept shouting that at me.
Oh.
Right, Francis.
Implying that,
Yeah, he was joking, obviously.
Obviously.
Obviously. France, on that note, we need to have the answer to the question of the week.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Well, the answer to the question of the week.
Well, what was the question?
Yeah, because people might not have listened to the first.
The question is, the if you haven't listened to the first
please
half,
do go and look.
Please go back and
check it out.
Actually, stop this now and just start playing the first one right now.
It's fine. Sometimes I accidentally listen to the second half first. We all do it. But the question was, to remind you, what is the most searched porn term?
Yeah.
You're asking us your question.
It was literally your question. But yeah.
And Jamie said stepmum.
Yeah. I had a justification for it.
No. Francis went, what porn term? You went stepmum.
And you said glory hole.
Yeah, after thinking about
you are in no way better than me.
So the answer is actually, so you're in good company, Jamie, is actually teen.
I used to what have I stumbled into? Well, when I this is a true story. I used to dabble in a bit of porn occasionally, not as in performing it, but like as in watching it.
Okay. Another rejection.
He was rejected by his own porn collection. Well, wow. Just stop watching me now. I'm sick of you.
Stop looking at me. But I used to sort of my tipple, I suppose, used to be
teen glory hole.
No, used to be college. That's why I used to type in college. And but now I think
thank you for that. Yeah. Wow.
Just so you can take that away with you, Jamie. Yeah, we are best friends.
What
so
image.
You. But it's true. But now I
college in the English sense, not the American sense.
But I've now, over the last the last year, I've decided that I just would never watch porn anymore. Because I think what happens is, actually, Pamela Anderson, of all people, told me this, it desensitizes everyone. And the problem is that people then have aspirations and things. And it's a really terrible thing for the mind, for the body, for the soul, for everything.
Yeah. Well, especially for children, right? You know, children, now you have like 8-year-old children, like
having access to it.
And also, like, police turning up to like 8-year-old children, like children who have been watching child porn and stuff like that.
And like schools, like all these like kids like sharing naked pictures. It's like, this is all really dark. Yeah.
So just basically go out and read novels.
Just listen to Belinda Blinked. It can do everything that porn can't do. It won't turn you on, but it will scar you for life. So, you know, you're halfway there.
Francis, we also need to have your diary, my friend, excited about. Yeah. Okay, Francis.
Monday. Apparently we should all be drinking more matcha tea.
Are you asking us, or?
For all these years, I thought it was just one of those perverted gimmicks that they made for a good Instagram post.
Me too.
But it turns out that well-known health benefits that we get from drinking normal green tea are multiplied exponentially when you simply grind up the leaves into a fine powder and consume it as a frothy latte-like beverage. That's what matcha tea is. I've started mixing it into my post-workout shakes, and it's delicious if you add a bit of honey to it. Obviously, don't go overboard on the honey.
I love it. It's delicious when you mask it with any other flavour. Yeah, yeah.
Just chuck everything. Is that it? Is that the end of it?
That's my
nice on matcha
You
tea.
Always phoned in your fucking diary entries on this show.
I know.
But like Jamie really like makes an effort. Yours are always like...
No. I sit there and go over hours and really think about printers and what I can really go with.
Hey, less is more.
Hey, but listen, any printers out there...
Oh, no, I am grateful for the length.
Are you grateful for... For mine,
I did zone out of yours.
No, you did not zone out.
Just momentarily, it was actually a bit when you threw it across the room and then it got a reaction. I was like, oh shit! What was
the make of my printer?
I don't know, and I'm not saying it again. You're just trying to get more free.
It's a Canon
printers.
Pixo.
Yeah, if you want to sponsor us, Canon, that would be insane. I need a new printer, and I would love it. So, if you're listening right now, Canon, Mr. Canon. Send me a printer. Jamie Morton, thank you so much for coming on the podcast, buddy. What a real treat.
This is really fun.
It's been really fun. Hey, listen, if you haven't listened to My Dad Wrote a Porn...
it's been fun.
Fun.
It's
cool.
It's been all right.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah.
If you haven't listened to My Dad Wrote a Porno, you have been missing out. It is such. It's going to go down like a Bronte, like I mentioned in my night. It's going to go down as a classic. Yeah. Go and get it. Follow Jamie on Instagram, Jamie Morton. And I can't wait to watch your HBO show.
Thank you very much. I'm excited.
And get tickets. Right. You're going on tour again.
Not yet. We haven't kind of.
He's going on tour tomorrow. If you want to go get tickets, they're nearly sold out. He's at the Roundhouse next week. Go and grab your tickets now. Jamie, what we like to do at the end of the podcast is leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Oh, fuck.
Here you go. It's over.
What, is that just... That's it?
Yeah, that's it. Every person, they listen to the podcast, and we had Ian Sterling on the podcast, and he said, I listen to it every single time. I go, God, they always get caught out, don't they?
Yes.
It never happened to me, and he came on, and he got caught out. So, yeah.
But define inspiration.
Oh, well, why don't you say that?
That's for you to do.
So, Jamie Morton, please leave our listeners with something inspirational.
Oh, God. Well, all I would say is that if your dad does send you erotica... Read it and share it with the world. I did. And now I'm sat with these two twats.
Jamie, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. We'll see you next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.